Shut up and sit down.
What's going on, guys? This is the MMA Complex. My name is Josh.
And I'm James.
We're back, brand new episode. Damn, it's feeling good, huh? This Old Rasputin beer is hitting.
Yeah.
It's nice. I love it. Yeah, this is one of my go-tos when I go to the bars. This is one of my go-tos. This is
killer. Look at that shit.
Dark and muddy and it's very nice. Yeah. Really nice flavor. Really
no, nice. It's delicious. This is
delicious.
Strong.
Yeah. I highly super recommend strong. It if you guys go to the bars and if you guys, wherever you're at. All right. This is a brand new episode. Make sure you like, subscribe, tweet, share, like this video, do everything to support the show. Want to thank you to all our regular listeners, first time listeners, and like Joe Budden likes to say, last time listeners. We got a good show for you today. This week we have a lot to get to, man. But what you been up to? Everything good? You had a busy week.
Yeah,
it's an emotional,
very emotional week.
Your,
yeah,
your girl's grandmother passed away. All the ceremonies for the in terms of not ceremonies. I don't know, what do you call it? Funeral.
Yeah, so a typical week. Like Mexican stuff. Because you know, like Mexicans, they usually have a wake the night before and then the funeral Catholic. In the morning. Mm-hmm. So we did that. It was a bit. It was different because the restrictions for COVID. Restricted. So like, I think for the wake they allowed. 8 people at a time. No, 10 people to view the body. So the rest had to wait outside and freeze their ass off.
Okay.
And the funeral was like unlimited, but it was an hour service, which is great for me.
That's good.
And then after that, we just had a back to her uncle's house for a big old, I guess, not a party, but like a reception maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was cool. I mean, it wasn't bad. Good food. But her mother's mother, so her mother, her grandmother on the mother's side is her
on,
time is
on her death row,
pretty much. Yeah. I have to go through all this stuff again.
That sucks, man. It really sucks. Yeah, that must be different to go through a whole COVID funeral and something like that.
It was completely different. I was kind of happy that it was limited to an hour because I don't know if I can deal with more than an hour.
Yeah, because they limit the amount of people, they limit the amount of time that it goes on for. So. Damn, that's unfortunate. Yeah, that was rough. What have we been up to? Just chilling, man. I woke up early today. My son woke up like at 7.
That's when I started work.
Yeah. I was up late last night doing some work and working out. And, man, I busted my knee again. My other knee. My good knee.
That sucks.
I went to Target. I told you the story. We know for you guys. Went to Target. He's playing with his Hot Wheels. He drops his Hot Wheel. I go to pick it up. My pants are riding a little low, so I got to do one of those one-legged kind of lean over to pick up because I don't want anybody to see my ass crack. And then it's like a crunchy crunch type of just uncomfortable feeling in my knee. And I'm like, oh, what the fuck? Hopefully that's not bad. Then I get home. Then it starts to sting a little bit. And then I, take the day to ice it, go get it checked out. Structurally, it's fine. Worked out for the first time yesterday and the day before, and yesterday night was just it was a little rough, and it kind of got inflamed and babying it today. So I'm gonna get an MRI and have it checked out, see if I'm good to go or if I need to rest up.
And were you in pain?
Not really, just discomfort. It feels very tight, swollen almost, but it's not swollen.
You're taking some ibuprofen; it'll help with the inflammation.
Yeah, that I'm. Popped one of those this morning. I'm going to try to do another one tonight. And then, but yeah, man, it's been, I'm praying and it's just, there's nothing it's too wrong with it. If I need to sit out, cool, I'll sit out.
Your right one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's my good one, which I had meniscus surgery almost 3 years now on my other one. So
yeah, that one was rough.
Yeah, that was rough.
But, so, and you got a haircut, man.
Yeah, I got a haircut. It's not, it's not gelled up or anything like that, but
yeah,
got a haircut. I got tired of the long hair. I was just like, I cut it shorter, maybe sometime in October. And then I started getting back into the awkward growing stage. Mm. And I was like, I don't want to go through this again. So I just
That's the worst side. Like the whole awkward growing stage is the worst.
It's just, I just feel it feels heavy on my head, and it's just like I'm like brushing it back all the time. I'm like, I'm done with. I'm gonna go back to my short hair and let it. Yeah. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing anything.
That's true.
So I'd probably shave it if I didn't want to get racially profiled. I'd probably shave it.
Oh my god!
But
don't do that.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. That's the thing that we have to think about.
Yeah.
If you shave your head, you know, the cops might look at you a little funny. They might take a second look at you. That's just what happens, you know.
Especially with me, I have that. I'm like darker than you, so
but
bad.
But when I shave my head, it doesn't matter. And it's like I'm, you know, I look like a Hispanic guy. So it I told you one story. I'm going straight, and then there's cops that are making that left turn around me, and they just eyeball me all the way around, and then boop, put their lights on and pull me over for no reason. And I'm like, what was it for? And he's like, oh, just traffic stop, something like that. I don't
know. Fuck.
Basically, the veteran cop had his like rookie cop kind of go through the motions of a stop, basically. I was like, oh, fuck it, whatever.
That sucks.
I'm not too late for work, whatever. Yeah, but
that's what sucks.
Yeah. So that's why I don't shave my head. Otherwise, I would. But I haven't done that for almost 10 years now. So we have a lot to get to, though. We haven't recapped what Connor and Poirier went through last weekend. Mm. So we'll do that today. We'll get to the Jake Paul stuff and Askren. Mm. We'll go over that. We'll get to the Megan Anderson controversy over Twitter with Casey Kinney and so what I think that's his name. And then we'll get to some other news here and there. And then take a look at tomorrow's Glory matchup.
Mm.
It's a good card. I think the pay-per-view is like $20, $24 or something like that. It's not too bad. It's good top to bottom, pretty good card. Yeah. A 4-man heavyweight tournament. It's not too bad. And then we'll that'll be the show. So first, let's get to UFC 257. Mm-hmm. 257 was last Saturday,
mm-hmm.
Almost a week now, and Dustin Poirier stops Conor McGregor in the second round via TKO.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of news outlets are put KO. I'm thinking to sensationalize the, you know, the caption.
Yeah, but it was a TKO.
It was a TKO. He was an out.
He
was an out. Out. He was definitely rocked. And becomes basically the uncrowned champion of the division so far, because Khabib is pretty much all but retired.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't officially said it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody necessarily impressed him enough, and Chandler is not seasoned enough in the UFC for him to really take that fight.
Yeah.
That'd be a fun matchup, though.
That would be.
That'd be good. I think that'll be a good win for Khabib. We'll get to that. We'll get to the matchups, but we'll talk about that fight. So co-main event. Let's get to the co-main event first. Chandler versus Hooker.
Man, Chandler brought it fucking and some.
It couldn't have gone any better for him.
I mean, Hooker didn't even. I don't know what he was doing. Like he didn't do nothing.
No, I think he felt the pressure. He felt it.
Was frustrating to watch.
It was frustrating while he was circling away from obviously Chandler's right hand, which was just pumping that right hand, throwing for the body, throwing up top, throwing to the body, and then, damn, it just unloaded. It was over in the first round. Chandler probably with the best debut of a big name that came into UFC in a very long time.
I think
probably since
Anderson first. and
Lieben.
And Lieben, yeah.
Man, that was he looked great. He looked good. He didn't have to do much to take out a top contender in Dan Hooker, who's a dangerous guy in that division,
mm-hmm.
Seasoned at the top 10 weight class,
mm-hmm.
For 155. And man, he looked good doing it. And he made a name for himself, even cut the Ric Flair promo at the end. Yeah, and
that was badass.
I mean, can't say anything better, man. Chandler debut was a knockout, man.
Oh yeah.
Literally a knockout.
Yeah, I don't know, like I mean it's easy for me to say this now cuz it's all done, but I don't know why he didn't fight him long and fight him and keep him at bay, keep Chandler at bay.
Yeah.
And fight him, you know, throw a jab out there, throw some kicks, but no, he let Chandler come inside and play his game and Chandler beat him up pretty
bad. Yeah.
But with a great promo, it was, that was fucking awesome.
That was an awesome promo.
Yeah. I think all he needed to do was a woo and then, or the.
Yeah, he didn't do the woo, but he didn't do the woo, but it would have been nice. He should have done the woo.
Yeah. But I think now he fights well. Like, who do you think he fights next?
So we'll get to the matchups and mixed match because it's definitely, there's a lot of possibilities there. For sure. But he called out Connor. He called out Dustin.
Khabib, yeah.
He called out Khabib. And he pretty much put everybody in the title picture on notice.
And which is good because, I mean, even though if you look at it, you know, it's kind of absurd. Some of the call-outs that he did just because, like...
Well, because so new to the weight class.
Yeah. And,
or to the organization.
Yeah.
But he's a huge name. I mean, everybody's been waiting for this guy to
finally... Yeah, to finally go to the UFC. Yeah. But I'm happy he did it because a lot of times guys wouldn't even do that. Mm-hmm. Guys just say, oh, they was up to the UFC. So he definitely took the opportunity, given the platform that it was given to make a name for himself. So now people know who he is, and he made me open some eyeballs.
And on the basically the biggest platform that you can do it, because everybody was watching that fight. On a Connor fight, you make a statement like that.
And the fight before Connor, which is even better.
I had people that didn't, you know, they don't follow MMA. They casually follow MMA. And they were asking me about Chandler. I was like, what is he that good, or, you know, what's he all about? So, you know, I told some people how he was. I was like, you know, longtime veteran, multiple time champion over at Bellator, kind of one of the big names in that division outside of the UFC. A lot of, you know, MMA heads felt like it was now or never for him to make the jump and to fight the who's who of the division. And he's finally doing it, and bam, there you go.
Yeah, I took full advantage of it.
Yeah, I took full advantage of it. Okay, let's get to the main event, and then we'll get to matchup. So, main event, I mean, it kind of played out how we thought it could. We talked about it. Mm-hmm. It's either going to go Connor blowout, or Dustin's going to just show him that you cannot mess with a guy who's hungry, who's been active, who's made his name at 155, who's big and strong at the division, and who has grown since you last fought him, and who's just a fighter that's coming to his own.
Yeah, because, I mean, the first time they fought was at 45.
It was at 45. They were both much younger. It was almost 6 years ago, 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And Connor has, obviously he went on that run, and over the last 4 or 5 years has maybe had
some of the distractions.
Like how many minutes of ring time? Like 8 minutes of ring time in the UFC?
He has the whiskey, he has the boxing, he has the money. He has a lot of distractions.
Yeah. Two kids, a third on the way.
Yeah. I mean, not just regarding like what Dustin did, because Dustin, you know, he went in there, he took advantage, and he beat him fair and square. But at the same time, you know, Connor hasn't been there at all. Yeah. Whereas Dustin's been in there with the best of the best. In the
trenches with the best of the best. Fighting win some, who's lost who. Some, but has like
he's been consistent. Yeah.
And at 155.
At 55, too.
He's home at 155. Big, he is so strong, big. Shredded.
He's so much bigger than Connor.
Yeah. So I think Dustin proved the point that we all know to be true is that, you know, if you're active and you've maintained, it's kind of like logic, common sense, you know. Much like, you know, ring rust. It's ring rust. Ring rust and just not being active and not fighting top level competition day in and day out.
Including
like
Dominic Cruz.
Except Dominic Cruz has been the only person that's been able to kind of, you know, defeat that old saying. But even then, he still fell victim to it at some point.
You know, for sure.
And the same what happened with Connor. It's like you're only going to get for so long, and then it's just the game's gonna catch up.
Yeah,
I mean, you're gonna run into a brick wall.
I mean, we both knew that this fight was gonna be dangerous for Connor, just because the guy he was fighting and the fact that he fought at 155, which Connor he's fought there before, but both times he has, he was a smaller opponent going in the cage.
Yeah. So I mean, the fight overall, I mean, you look at the fight. It was a kind of a good back and forth. Connor, I think, had more of the better moments in the first round Then they go to the second round. Dustin starts to land more of those leg kicks.
Those leg kicks fucking destroyed him.
Yeah, and pretty much deads his leg. Connor then, because he had Poirier up against the cage. He gets hit. Poirier notices he gets hit because Connor's leg buckles. And then Connor kind of backs up towards the cage. Dustin circles around him and just starts to unload. Connor is just on defense and it can only do it for so long. And then that's it. The fight was over. You know, some say Connor gave up. Connor, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe you know, once it.
I mean, it's kind of hard to fight when your leg is.
It's kind of hard to fight with one leg. But I don't know. So that was the fight in a nutshell. So, man, Dustin looked. Okay, we'll see how each one looked to you. How did Connor look to you physically, mentally, expression wise, like everything?
I think
his in-ring performance. How did he look?
I think physically he looked great. I think he looked as good as I've ever seen him. Actually, his body looked shredded. He looked in really good shape. Even the first round, like he saw glimpses of old Connor. I mean, in my mind, he won that first round easily. But I did notice that in between rounds, he didn't want to sit down in the stool. I think not because he wasn't tired, but because he knew that if he sat down, his day would probably be even in worse shape if he was trying to get up.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think he just stood up. So
yeah, I noticed that too. I thought that was interesting.
To let his leg not go more dead, I guess you could say, for lack of a better word. But and I think he looked great. I think because it was boxing stance and left his leg open for those leg kicks, and I think those leg kicks hurt him. And I believe that if we did check those leg kicks and those leg kicks weren't a factor, I think it would have been a different fight.
Yeah. I think he looked in good shape leading up to the fight. He looked in very good shape.
He looks so shredded.
But for some reason, in the fight, he looked
tentative.
He looked tentative. He didn't look like. I think the ring rust started to show. Mm-hmm. It definitely showed. He wasn't like. He didn't have that pep in his step. He didn't have that pop. He didn't have that confidence, oozing confidence that he normally has. He was almost going through the motions. It felt like.
I think too, the crowd, like if there was a bigger crowd.
Yeah,
was
barely crowd.
He kind of feeds into that energy.
Yeah,
of the crowd.
You're right. And but even physically, that muscle, definition for it felt like it seemed looked like it went away, because he looked in good shape, but it didn't look like he was as muscularly defined, as he was in the lead up, and then. He looked older. I think with the shaved head.
I don't like when
the
shaved head.
He looked old. And then even when he's getting backed up and get those punches, and he just seemed like not Connor, I don't know, in some form.
You're right.
And it's nothing taken away from Dustin, because Dustin looked freaking amazing all the way through the whole week. And even in the fight, looked strong, looked quick, ready to fight and showed. But Connor looked like just slower, not aggressive necessarily. Just, I don't know, just didn't look like the same Connor. And I think you have to attribute that to age, time. Father time is catching up to him. It just is. He's not that old, but you're in your early 30s now. And the game is passing you by, man. And you haven't been active at all in the last, I don't know how many years. And you're fighting a killer who's been at the top of the division for a long time since you've been away. And he's got a grudge against you because you knocked him out the first time. And I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, that's the way I looked at Connor. I didn't think he looked physically that strong in the fight.
Mm-hmm.
Technique was there. And he looked old.
Yeah.
I don't know. And he's not even that old. So, Dustin, I mean, we said it before. It looked big, strong, athletic, quick, aggressive, just everything, confident.
I mean, could have seen him. He took a full advantage of the opportunity.
He looked amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's as far as the fight goes, that's performance-wise, that's our takeaway. As far as performance, that's our takeaway from the performance. But as far as where these guys go from here, Let's talk about matchups. We have to talk about matchups. We'll start with Connor, then we'll go down the road. So Connor definitely has some rebuilding to do. Psychologically, you have to take into account that he didn't do any trash talk. He accepted the loss better than he should have accepted it, really, at the end. And not saying that he shouldn't have been cordial, but he even said at the press conference, this loss doesn't bother him. And it's like, if you look at his life, all the, you know, he's accomplished basically everything in the sport that you really can accomplish.
Yeah.
First double champ, a consecutive double champ. You know, beaten some of the best in the division, mm-hmm. made tons of money, businesses, family, a third kid on the way. Mm-hmm. You know, what more is really there to do in MMA when, and I think that kind of mentality, that comfort, it's like, I don't think that he's translating. Like, he's not mentally, physically he might feel good and willing to compete, but mentally that fire is just not there. Dustin still has that fire because even though he's been in the trenches and held his position, he still feels like he's got something to prove because he doesn't have that title right. to his name.
Right.
He doesn't have that title reign legacy. He's not making that big time money yet, so he's got a hunger.
Yeah.
Connor doesn't have that hunger anymore.
Yeah.
So Connor's one, got to change up his strategy going in, and he's got to change his mentality. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a big obstacle for him. Mm-hmm. If he were to retire right now, I don't think anybody would hold it against him. It'd be like, hey, I just don't have, you can be truthful. I don't have the fire. And this is not a game that you play with if you don't have the fire. So I'm bowing out. And there you go. I'm going to let the rest of the younger guys come up and do their thing. My time is done in the sport.
Right.
There you go. And be an ambassador and make your money and do all this other shit and people will love you. If you're going to bow out, I think bow out is right now is the time to do it. If you don't, although I think I favor him pretty good if he could get shit together against Tony and Gaethje. I think he can hold his own against both of those guys. If he gets his shit together, and he still has to get his shit together for Dustin and Diaz, and those, I think matchup wise, money wise, the safer fights in a way are those trilogy matches, and he's got two of them lined up. So those are the ways to go for him. If he were to take one of those off, you know, off fights like Gaethje or Ferguson, I'd probably go with Gaethje. He's a more predictable fighter.
Yeah.
I don't know. You agree with that? Sorry, Dustin, what are your thoughts on Connor? Let's just actually, what are your thoughts on Connor first? Sorry. Where do you think you should go?
I think, I know, like, he wants that third fight with Justin Poirier.
Yeah.
But I just don't think he deserves it. I think the fashion, how he lost that fight, he got stopped.
Yeah.
I don't think he deserves a trilogy fight with Dustin. I think Dustin should fight for the vacant title against Charles Oliveira.
Yeah, okay.
And I think that should be the fight next for Dustin. I think Connor doesn't deserve Dustin. I think he should let Dustin fight for that title and have Connor trying to work his way back to the title. So I think I think Connor should fight either Nate Diaz or maybe Tony Ferguson.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
Yeah, like one of those two guys. Yeah. But I don't think he should fight Dustin. I think Dustin should fight for the vacant title.
Yeah.
I think Dustin's done enough to prove that he should be fighting for that title. He's done more than enough. And he should fight Charles Oliveira for that vacant title.
I think so too. I mean, I don't know. If I was Dustin, I would let Chandler and Oliveira fight for the number one contender. I would let them fight for the number one contender.
I think Oliveira kind of proved it, right? He's the guy.
He has by beating Ferguson, but the way Chandler, his reputation, his resume, and the way he took out Hooker, that puts him right in line for that neck and neck with Oliveira. Plus, he's a bigger name. and a way more marketable person than Oliveira is. So it's like,
so what do you put Dustin? I think he should fight Dustin for the vacant title.
If Dustin already favors a trilogy fight with Connor or a money fight with Diaz, and it's kind of personal with Diaz. I think they've gone back and forth a lot.
Yeah.
If we're gonna look at rankings, then yeah, Oliveira's got to be the one, but I don't think he's gonna get it.
No,
I don't think he's gonna get the title shot. I think Dustin's gonna make them sit out. I think he's gonna do. I don't know, because Dustin wants to make money. So right now is the time for Dustin to make money and maximize his celebrity profile. He's got that Conor rub. He's got to maximize it. The way you maximize it, you take out Diaz or you take out Conor again.
Yeah.
And you risk it against, you know, very dangerous contenders. No,
I mean, you're right. I just don't like the idea that he's going backwards instead of going forward.
Yeah. But he's in a position now where he can
call shots.
He can call his shots.
Yeah.
And make that money. He doesn't have, you know, the UFC's going to call him and ask him what he wants to do, you know. Yeah. So, I don't know. Oliveira is not a big enough name to really demand that, title.
You're right. I mean,
even though he deserves it.
If tomorrow they announce Oliveira and Poirier, people in the casual are going to say, who in the fuck is Oliveira?
Who the fuck is Oliveira?
Yeah.
If they give it, Chandler made a big name for himself on a big card, and people would be like, oh, that guy? Oh, yeah, that's a good fight. So, as far as money wise,
are you a challenge to fight Conor?
If I was Conor, I'd probably stay away from that right now.
Shit.
Just because Conor needs a little bit of time and a good fight, like a Diaz fight, to get him going again if he really wants to do it.
Yeah.
You go fight killers like Oliveira and Chandler right now, it's not the time to do it. You need to be all there to fight those guys.
I think Ferguson would be a good matchup just because Ferguson has a name and there's a bit of a rivalry there, but it can go either way.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would, if I was Poirier and I could get that Diaz fight, I'd probably do the Diaz fight. I'll let Conor sit out.
I would love to have
I'd force Conor. Him to sit out or take the Ferguson fight.
Hmm. Conor,
but let's say Conor sits out and Poirier gets that Diaz fight that he wants, makes that money. You have Chandler and Oliveira fight for the number one contender. And then you get Ferguson and Hooker.
I don't know, man, because
it's weird.
If Poirier beats Diaz.
Diaz is the X factor. Diaz is the fact that throws the monkey in the wrench. He's the monkey in the wrench.
The thing is, if he does
or
fight,
wrench
if
whatever.
Dustin bites Nate Diaz and obviously he beats him, then you lose out on that Conor and Nate Diaz fight.
I know. I think a lot of people don't see
that's Diaz a bigger
beating
fight.
Poirier.
No one sees Diaz beating Poirier, but I'm saying, like, that's what I'm saying. Once Poirier smashes Nate Diaz,
but
there goes that Conor fight.
No,
Diaz.
I think if Diaz beats Poirier, that makes the Conor Diaz fight even bigger.
But that's not gonna happen. We all know Nate Diaz isn't getting his ass handed to him.
And then, if Conor wants to fight Poirier, which I think he will, because he needs to avenge that loss. So. He'll definitely give Poirier a rematch.
Yeah, I think Conor and Poirier are destined to meet one more time.
Yeah,
I'd rather have Conor fight Nate Diaz just because that fight's on the table, and it's still relevant and what people are so excited about.
So what?
I just think that Poirier will just kill off Diaz, and then that fight between Conor and Nate won't be as intriguing.
The reason I'll take out Diaz out of the equation is because he's so wishy-washy. You don't know if he's going to actually take the fight. He always says, oh, they're not giving me my money, something like that.
Yeah.
So if I was Poirier, I would sit out. I would let Conor and Nate fight it out.
Perfect.
I would let Oliveira and Chandler fight it out. I'll let Ferguson and Hooker fight it out. I'll let those guys fight it out. I'll go on vacation.
Inactive, I think he wants to be active,
but I think he'll be inactive for probably most of the spring, but come summertime he's got his pick. If you could do Chandler and Oliveira and you could do Diaz and Conor before summer, You got.
I think Connor fights in the summer.
You got Connor. Yeah. You don't. You think he doesn't fight till summer?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's too soon.
Yeah. There's so many matchups you could. There's so many ways you could mix.
Yeah.
Them
I,
up.
I think. I think for me, you got to put Poirier and Oliveira for that title.
I mean, in terms of like MMA, you know, rankings and hierarchy and like the way it should go. Yes. But the way I think just it's going to go.
Oh, yeah.
You have three big names over him. Yeah. Over him.
Just
because
I don't know. Like, I doubt Conor. Do you think Conor is really going to fight before the summer? I think
there's a good chance.
We're in February.
I think.
Summer's like 3 months away.
I think by May. I can see him fighting in May.
I don't know.
I can see him fighting in May. Yeah. I can see him fighting in May.
We'll see what happens. I don't see how I see him fighting somewhere like the July card.
Yeah. It all depends on what, honestly, it really all depends on what Poirier wants and what he could negotiate with the UFC. Because he can tell him, I don't want to fight Oliveira and Chandler.
I mean, if Dustin picks Connor, I think he does fight before summer. But if he doesn't get that fight, and you know, Nate's not going to want that. I don't know. I don't see Nate coming back either.
I don't see Nate coming back either. I think it's all talk. Yeah. For me, Let's say Nate doesn't come back. Let's say you take Nate out of the equation. I would do Hooker, Ferguson, Oliveira, Chandler, Poirier, Connor, 3 in May.
Yeah.
I'll do those. Those would be my fights.
Yeah, I agree with that just because Nate Diaz kind of
You don't know if he's going to commit or not. Yeah, Nate Diaz is the one that throws everything out of whack.
He does.
So if you take that out of the equation.
Even if, let's say tomorrow he agrees to fight.
Yeah.
Connor or Poirier, next week he'll probably go, nah, I'm good.
Yeah. So he's the one that throws everything out of whack. But if you don't, I say you do the immediate rematch in early summer. Oliveira, Chandler, Ferguson, Hooker.
All in one card, maybe.
All in one card. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But like all those throughout the spring.
Yeah.
There you go. That yeah. Man. Yeah.
Complex, but interesting. Complex.
But honestly, any of those matchups are just interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I really would like to see that Oliveira, Chandler. That would be a... That'd be a good one right there.
I think Oliveira kills him.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
But that'd be a good one. That'd be a really good one. Jake Paul and Ben Askren have been announced for, I think, sometime in April. I think it was April 11th. I don't remember what it is. For an 8-round boxing match live on pay-per-view. In the lead up to this, there was a lot of names going around. Connors, Michael Bisping, Dylan Danis was the biggest name that was being thrown around. Ben Askren was mentioned. Ended up being Ben Askren. Okay, so a lot of people are like, I haven't really heard a lot of, you know, the talk on this is people are really looking at, as far as MMA side, looking at Askren as... Obviously, not the best striker in the sport.
It's probably one of the worst. I think
probably one of the worst strikers in our sport.
That's why Jake Paul chose him. I think.
Yeah, definitely. Jake Paul knows what he's doing. He's picking guys that are ground fighting oriented, kind of like traditional ground fighters. Like with Dylan Danis, his. A jiu-jitsu guy who's barely made his way into MMA, so his striking's still developing. You have Askren, who's far more seasoned, actual MMA veteran, undefeated up until he got to the UFC and he ran into Jorge Masvidal. But before then, he was undefeated. He was a champ in Bellator, a champ in ONE-UP Championship, and a guy who was a specialist in wrestling and built everything else in his game around it and catered to executing his wrestling. And he was so successful at it that he went undefeated. But the sad thing is really, it's kind of like that Jose Aldo Connor thing, is that he got to the UFC. He gets knocked out by a flying knee. He got past Robbie Lawler, controversial fight with Robbie Lawler ending. He goes to Masvidal, gets smoked in the 4 seconds, and then he gets submitted by Damian Maia. Not the best run ever. Granted, he did it a little late in his career, and a bad hip, which he had like a
replacement,
over this past year, and he's been retired for almost 2 years now. So, I mean, perfect fight for Jake Paul to get a win off of somebody who has a credible name in MMA and who's not the most dangerous person. Because he's not calling out Douglas Lima. He's not calling out Jorge Masvidal. He's not calling out Israel. He's not calling out Yoel Romero. Yeah. He's not calling out a lot of guys. You know, he's calling out guys
who are better than yeah, Askren.
Yeah. And,
clearly.
And more dangerous and bigger and all that stuff. He's calling out guys that are primarily ground fighters with very little striking that are not intimidating people. Ben Askren is not a physically intimidating guy.
No, not at all.
But he's a NCAA champion, Olympian, and has an extensive, pretty impressive MMA resume.
Yeah.
But in MMA, you don't have to be a specialist in any one thing.
To be successful.
To be successful. You have to be good enough in pretty much everything to get by. And if you have a certain special strength, like wrestling or striking or jiu-jitsu,
that's going to benefit you for sure.
Yeah, it'll benefit you in the long run because you built everything else around it, and it makes it even more dangerous to deal with. Whereas boxing, you got one thing to focus on, you got one thing to do, and if you're not good at it, you're pretty much, you got nowhere to go.
Right.
So, as far, you know, the overall misconception for a lot of people is that, oh, MMA guys don't know how to strike, and that's not necessarily true.
That's who's in there with them.
It depends on who you're talking about. Because a lot of guys like an Askren never really needed to focus on his striking. He needed to focus on utilizing whatever striking he can learn to setting up what he's really good at and taking you down and beating you up. And that's what he did throughout his career. When you throw him in there against his weakest strength, against a guy like that's, so as far as Jake Paul is, 3 or 4 years training, mm-hmm. nonstop, young, big, athletic kid, mm-hmm. a little crazy. Even though he's a YouTuber and made millions already and he's wealthy, he's a very competitive kid, has some athletic ability in high school and accolades in high school. I think he did wrestling and, you know, those other shit. So the kid's an athlete. As far as an MMA Olympian Askren level athlete, no, he doesn't have those accomplishments, but he's a big, strong, young, athletic kid.
Yeah.
And has dedicated himself to boxing for the past 3 or 4 years, just boxing. And so you get a guy like Askren who hasn't really needed to focus on his boxing, and he's at the stage in his career that he's at.
Yeah.
For us MMA people, this is not a good look for the sport. And this is what I think I'm more worried about is I think we're past that for as far as casual. I think casuals know the difference between MMA and know that boxers, if they go into MMA, they're done in like a minute.
Yeah.
I think people know that. I think most people know that nowadays. I think they really do. 5, 6 years ago, 10 years ago, that wouldn't have been the case. Mm-hmm. Now, I definitely think people know that. What did you think?
I rolled my eyes at the whole situation.
Okay.
Yeah. I think, like you said, I think if you're gonna pick one guy to do a boxing match with, I think Askren's the guy.
Yeah,
he's not physically intimidating. You know, he has a dad bod.
Dad bod for sure. He's older.
He's way older.
He's weathered. He just had hip surgery.
Yeah, and I mean, he relied on his wrestling throughout his whole MMA career.
He's a ground fighter.
Yeah,
and a very good one at that. He just
focused on that, yeah. And you have this YouTuber kid who I've seen, you know, play basketball, I think, on his channel, who's been focusing 4 years just in boxing, younger and stronger. It'll be easy to pick Jake Paul in this fight. I think this will be a best case scenario to fight an MMA guy.
I think he's even got, 30 pounds on him. I think he's even got 30 pounds on Askren. He's a bigger guy than Askren.
But I think that because of how Ben Askren's career ended in the UFC and the, like, what
people write him off. Definitely.
If he loses this fight, I think people will say, well, that's the same guy who got knocked down in 4 seconds and kind of like rode the right.
So as far as I can see that.
Like, I don't think it's going to hurt MMA at all.
So I can see that. As far as the casuals.
Yeah, they say, well, yeah, I remember that guy.
He's the guy that Masvidal knocked out, right?
Yeah, in 4 seconds. Oh, he sucks.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You kind of brush off the whole fight.
Yeah, you're right.
It's a laugh out loud moment.
Yeah,
I think.
Now, as the people that are in defense of Askren, they're going to be like, this guy is a collegiate champion, an Olympic contender, mostly undefeated MMA champion in multiple divisions, and fought some of the most elite strikers in his weight class. And
all those are true, but that was in his heyday. So
that was in his heyday. Yeah, it's a much different fight. Yeah. I can see the way I see a lot of people see the fight going is that either Logan Paul is going to just technique and speed and power and just youth, mm-hmm. and just outmatch Askren in every way and probably get him out early. Or the flip side, mm-hmm. that Askren is going to weather any storm that Jake Paul throws at him
out.
Tire him out, dirty box him to hell, and probably even finish him in the seventh. Because
I can see both situations happening.
Because Jake Paul hasn't, Askren says the seventh, but I can see it sixth, seventh, fifth. Because Jake Paul really hasn't gone past three rounds. And I think he's only had three fights. And the one that went the distance, he was gassing out in the third.
Yeah.
So you could take him past the third and you just dirty box him to hell and tie him up and punch him in the stomach and the head and withstand any, which
that can be his road to victory,
which obviously over time the power punches are going to diminish. Mm-hmm. Askren has a chance to win this fight, and we all know he's got a hell of a chin. He's, you know, you got to really Jorge Masvidal flying knee him to get him out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very interesting fight, man.
But I think either way, I think it doesn't hurt MMA's reputation.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
I just hate it. I hate it, because it's that boxing and MMA versus MMA, and then they always put down MMA, stand-up, and it's like, we're so past that now. And it's like, this kind of brings us back to those.
What Askren came from, and his last two losses, they're going to say, yeah.
I think people are going to write him off. They're going to write him off as a ground guy. They're going to write him off as a guy that got knocked out.
I think it's going to make Jake Paul look bad.
Yeah, especially if he loses, they're going to be like, oh, this guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting, man. Am I going to watch it? Yes. Am I going to pay for it? Probably not, depending on the price, but I'll stream it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Do we ever pay for a fight? No.
Yeah, I know. No.
Even the biggest ones.
I don't know. I think people are mixed. People are like rooting for Ben, but also worried for Ben. Are rooting for the sport.
I don't think it's serious. Just because how everything
is.
It's kind of a joke for me.
Do you think it's going to sell a lot?
No.
No?
No.
Because he's not a big name, but he's a good trash talker. Both of them are, actually.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't see anybody buying a Ben Askren fight.
Yeah.
A boxing fight.
Yeah, you're right. I think people, and he's the headliner. This is the main fight that people would buy.
It's a snoozer for sure.
Which is good because if it goes bad for MMA and Askren, it's kind of good if it falls under the radar.
Yeah.
All right. So that's our piece for that. I'm anxious for this fight. Like you look at a Luke Thomas, he doesn't even want to talk about this fight. You look at a Shab who kind of looks at it like we are looking at it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But not totally emotionally invested. I don't know. I feel like more emotionally invested in this thing. I'm like, it kind of brings me back to 10 years ago when it was boxing versus MMA. And everybody puts down boxing.
People
and I'm
were
like,
laughing at the Floyd Mayweather Conor fight.
Yeah.
That was two bigger names. Conor was a bigger name.
And but Conor did so much for MMA because he held his own for a majority of that fight. And even a boxing head that I used to work with was like, he had nothing but praises for Conor. He's like, damn, he really showed me something. So it justified a legitimate, I don't know if it was the word, MMA stand-up. Legitimate, whatever. it made legitimate, you got that old Rasputin coming and creeping in.
Legitimize.
Yeah, there you go. MMA stand-up. Because it's like, oh damn, one of your best strikers held his own against one of our best.
But that's my point. Like that, people were kind of like laughing or rolling their eyes at that fight.
And then they were surprised, pleasant surprise. They're probably not even going to take this one seriously, huh?
No, not at all. Just because it's basically a YouTuber versus an old,
an obscure MMA fighter. Yeah, I got you. All right, maybe I'm not going to take it that seriously. I'm taking it kind of seriously. I'm nervous. I don't know. All right, a couple of things. Raquel Pennington tested positive for steroids. There's that. What else? Anderson. Oh yeah. So I think Megan Anderson and is it Casey Kenny? I don't know. So Sean O'Malley has a podcast. His coach asked their guest, I think it's Casey Kenny, if he would, hook up with Megan Anderson, who's fighting Amanda Nunes, in like maybe a month or so. Mm-hmm. Casey Kenny's on that same. I keep saying Casey Kenny, but I'm going to go with Kenny. Kenny is fighting on the same card against Dominic Cruz. Makes a comment saying that no, he probably wouldn't, that she's a 4 o'clock, 5 a.m. kind of hookup.
he's right.
And Megan Anderson calls him out on Twitter and is like, I can't believe I'm like this, you know, this guy's saying this stuff and I'm even fighting on the same card as him, which is kind of awkward. Kenny... apologizes to her not that long afterwards and all that.
Because he has to.
It makes the rounds a little bit. I don't think the UFC is really going to do much. All these people on Pitchforks on Twitter are fucking going crazy.
Of course. Really relax.
Stand by you, girl, and all this other stuff.
Oh, fucking gosh. Shut the fuck up.
I know. Like Kenny's a fucking asshole and dumb for saying this stuff. And for those who aren't too familiar with the sport, you know, degrading women in the sport is not necessarily a very common thing. I think the guys and the girls, for the most part, have always looked at each other as colleagues, right?
But yeah, but in this situation, it has nothing to do with a colleague, per se. It has to do with a guy talking about a girl. It has nothing to do with, like, fight and empowerment, none of that shit. He was asked a question and he answered it.
He answered it.
I see nothing wrong with it. It's fucking stupid. People are way too fucking sensitive.
Yeah, definitely way more sensitive. They're taking it way too seriously than they should.
Fuck, man. But they swear to God, like, people in the real world don't talk like this.
Yeah, I know. They do talk like this. Everybody talks like this.
If you're saying that you don't, you're a fucking liar.
Everybody talks. But not publicly, though. And the bad thing he did it publicly. And he did it with a colleague. And it'd be almost like just if I was at work... Like I definitely agree with that people are taking it way too serious. Definitely way too serious, but and coming after Kenny for, to get him off the card and kicked out of the UFC and UFC to get some punishment, and like, dude, shut up.
The fuck up.
He apologized. If he wants to even take it further, apologize during fight week. You could do that. I think he'll probably die by then. I think the UFC could probably put out a statement.
Don't bring it up.
Not condoning that stuff. Let it die off.
The UFC didn't even get involved.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
But he did fuck up by putting it on the fucking podcast. Just don't. You know, Sean O'Malley, who was a big star, you don't put on. Come on. You can't. The thing is, now, we're not fans of Megan Anderson because of, she gets signed to the UFC and she big times everybody that kind of helped her out like us. We're not fans of her in that way. Kenny's action words aren't like the end of the world, but he did fuck up by putting it out in a public forum. And with a colleague. Yeah. It is a colleague. So he's fighting on the same card as her. It's like, ugh, you know what I mean? And that's the thing that happens a lot. Everybody's got a podcast, especially fighters, and they just say whatever they want. Not that I think his words are that big of a deal. Not that I think this is overall that big of a deal. I think it's a dumbass move on his part for putting it out in public with a person that he technically works with and will work with.
He was a guest, and I think I blame the guy that was on the podcast.
I think for the most part,
his hands are clean.
I would blame the coach for setting him up with that stupid question.
Ask him a question, but yeah, he should have been smart. Maybe and said, "Well, I don't want to answer that question or something, but
something or just downplayed it. Like, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Because most of the time,
I mean,
most of the time, like they'll bring up like a hot chick, like Rachel Ostovich or Paige and be like, oh yeah, man, she's freaking hot. Bring your photos up.
That's okay to do.
That's okay to do.
But like, if you're not physically attracted to somebody and say that, for God forbid, like you don't want to sleep with them, then you're an asshole.
Yeah.
That shit makes no fucking sense.
Yeah. So that made the rounds on Twitter last night. There's a couple articles on it.
People need to fucking relax.
Yeah, definitely.
That fucking beer pulled me up.
and then as far as MMA news, I think that's it. That's crazy. That's how we end the show.
Yeah.
With
a bang.
With
fucking alcohol,
with
man.
All due respect. We have alcohol to. Yeah. With all due respect to Megan Anderson and Kenny and all that.
None of my end.
That's our show. So hope you guys enjoyed it. Like, subscribe, share, all that stuff. We'll catch you guys
next week.
And then we have a card going on. I think UFC card next week.
I think next weekend, right?
I think so. And then check out Glory. They have a 4-man tournament this week. Stacked main card. Check it out. I think it's on Fight TV and Glory pay-per-view. It's like $24, something like that. You guys should check it out. Until then, catch you guys
Cheers.
All next time.